Amen indeed. Thank you, ladies, for a tremendous special, wonderfully done. I hope you listen to the words of that song, all right? Man, we have some burdens in our home, in our church family this morning. We have some heartache. We have some trials and difficulties. The world is in a terrible mess. We have a pandemic. Our political leadership is just a mess and everything, but you know what? It's all okay. All is well. I catch myself, and I've tried to do better just the last little bit, but kind of concerned about, well, what if this happens in the political process? What if this happens in the political process and everything? It don't matter. God's in charge, okay? God is there, and it is all well. Absolutely. Ladies, thank you for a fabulous sermon this morning. Sometimes you hear the term, you know, that's a hard act to follow. Well, first of all, that's not an act. That's a praise and worship to God. And as a pastor, well, that's not hard to follow. That gets you ready. I'll assure you. Thank you again. Great special. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For weeks and weeks, I have been preaching on the prophetic statements of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25 in the Olivet Covenant, or the Olivet Discourse, excuse me. I also have preached about indicators and the signs of the coming of the Lord, and that we are the indicators that we are living in the last days. And I believe with all my heart that we are living in the last days. I looked at those indicators that Jesus gave us in Matthew 24 and 25. I looked at the indicators that we find from the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul in many instances, some of the Old Testament prophecies that talk about that. We didn't look at a lot of those and go into detail of those, but there are lots of those. Folk, I'm telling you what, we are looking, I believe, at life from the very fringes of life as we know it, and I believe that the Lord's coming back real soon, all right? I pray that it is today. I really do. I really want the Lord to come back. These heartaches and burdens that are listed on our prayer list, these unspoken needs that we talk about and such, well, when the Lord comes back, it'll be taken care of, all right? It's going to be okay and such. Now, that doesn't lessen or minimize the difficulties that you're going through today, and please don't think that, but you just be sure and do just exactly what that song said, the ladies just sang. You look to God and know that He's there and He's going to help you through this time, and we can rejoice in that. As we come to this today, I want to, for the next couple of Sundays, just kind of bring to a climax, I hope, the things that we've been talking about for weeks and weeks, okay? I am convinced, my convictions are, based on my study and understanding of the Scriptures, that the next major event in God's timetable, in God's plan, in God's order of events, is the rapture. Just as a real quick review, let us review some terminology real quickly, and we'll get to my text, and we'll begin to look at the rapture itself. The first of all, when we talk about the rapture, now if you look in your Bible, you look through it, you read through it, you look in your concordance or you Google it or whatever you do in this day and time and such, the word rapture is not found in the Scriptures. It's not in the Bible. But it's a word that is very, very accurate in describing what is going to happen when Jesus comes. The rapture is a term that we use to describe the event that will take place when Jesus comes the very next time, and He'll come just into the clouds, okay? I believe just as the apostles and others saw Him ascend into the clouds in Acts chapter 1, He will return into the clouds, and He will call home His children, both the dead and alive alike. Those who have died knowing Christ will be raptured away, taken out of the grave, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him. We'll read that in just a second. But that is the word rapture. It actually comes from a medieval Latin term that means to seize something or carry something off, and usually it has the indication that seizing or that taking away is done with great force. Folks, that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes. We're going to be taken with the power of God and forever be with Him. There's another term that we've used often in our study and we find often in the talking about in the scripture, and that is the second coming of the Lord. Well, is that not the same as the rapture? Well, the second coming of the Lord, that phrase, I think can be applied both to the rapture and to His coming to establish His earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years He's going to reign, and the second coming of the Lord, that phrase, I think better applies to when He comes to establish His, He will come the second time and set His feet upon the Mount of Olives, this time literally and physically setting upon the earth and coming to the earth and establishing that kingdom. And for 1,000 years, as we think of years, He will be the King of kings and Lord of lords of this earth. Now, He is that today, but it's going to be a different setting when He comes to the earth to reign. Another term that is often used to talk about the rapture is the resurrection. Now, you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can find that's a tremendous condensed study of the resurrection, talking about Christ's resurrection and talking about our resurrection. Folk, when Jesus comes in the rapture, there will be a resurrection. Now, the resurrection, when we think of it, first thing that usually comes to mind is Christ rising from the dead. Jesus died on the cross 3 days later, on the end of the third day. Jesus arose from the grave. He was resurrected. That's what the word means, to rise up. He arose from the grave. Folk, when Jesus comes, the graves are going to give up the dead. And there's going to be a resurrection of those who know the Lord. Those who know Christ, they are going to be taken from that grave, I believe, in a literal, physical sense, in a demonstration of the power of God. And we're going to see that resurrection. One other term that we often speak of is the day of the Lord or the last days. Those are both terms that we find in the Scripture various times. This phrase is broadly used, and it can describe that event of the rapture and the events that happen thereafter until we go into that eternal age. But it can also describe those days that are leading up to those, which I believe that we are living in today. And I base that conviction of belief on what we have studied, on the things that Christ has told us. Now, be sure that we know this. Don't ever forget this. The Scripture tells us very plainly. Jesus Himself tells us very plainly, two different times, in Matthew 24 and 25, that no man knows the day nor the hour. All right? Those that are date setters have missed the boat, okay? They're teaching falsehoods. They don't know when Jesus is coming back, and you can't figure it out, all right, to the exact day. But I think we can see those indicators that Christ Himself gave us to tell us of those days and that they are indeed about to come. Read with me this morning as we begin to look at that next great event, the rapture. I believe today, I say this often, I believe that all good Baptist folks today believe, expect Jesus to come back. I want us to do more than expect it. I want us to anticipate it. There's a difference in expectation and anticipation. All right, you can expect something that and not be excited about it, not anticipate it because it may have some negative connotation to it. But folk, when something is exciting to us, we're looking forward to something. We can't wait for something to happen. That is an anticipation. I want us this morning, if you don't already, I want you to leave this morning anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to anticipate that He is coming and that coming is just right around the corner. We find various scriptures that tell us about His coming. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "You believe in Me, believe also in God. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There is an explicit, direct revelation from Jesus Himself in the flesh at that time, just before He is to be crucified, that He is going away, but He is coming again to take us to where He is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we find a passage that I've preached from many, 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 many times. Taught from it, preached it to you guys before, that gives us what I think is the most vivid description of what is going to transpire when the rapture occurs. This is how it's going to be. This is why, folk, don't spiritualize this to the point that we don't take it practically to heart. Folk, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And folk, listen, it is because this is going to happen that it's all well this morning, that everything's okay. This is where our hope is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, unlearned, uneducated, uninformed." This is not used in a derogatory way at all. This is not used in a way to belittle or speak harshly of someone. It's just simply, he doesn't want us to be unlearned and unknowledgeable about the things of the coming of the Lord. That's why we have the scriptures in this passage. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, those who have died in Christ." That's the key. They have died in Christ, knowing Christ, having Christ as their personal Savior. "I would not have you to be ignorant concerning those, them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope." Folk, I've worked in the funeral industry for many years. I've preached hundreds of funeral sermons and messages and such for people I didn't know, and I always try to talk to them and get a little information about them. And folk, as a rule, you can tell the difference in a family that's dealing with the loss of an old Christian saint in their family and one that doesn't have any hope because they don't know Christ. It's usually very obvious, very obvious. Folk, let me tell you what. He doesn't tell us not to sorrow. It's a sad thing when we lose a loved one. But if a loved one knows Christ as their personal Savior, if the loved ones that we know that we have lost, be it a mother, a father, a sibling, whatever the sitting, I'm telling you what, if they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, or they died in a time when they were in a state of innocence, let me tell you what, it's okay. We don't sorrow like those without hope, because I have that hope. We can have that hope. We'll see that again in a moment. He says the reason for it is because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The word "if" in the beginning of that is a word that we often use in the same way today, and it expresses the word "since we know." If we know, since we know. You can use either word there and do no disservice to what is said here. "For since we know," or if we believe, "that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus, who have died in Jesus, God will bring with him." The scripture tells us very plainly, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. The spiritual person of old Sid Rhee is going to live forever. The physical body may die. If the Lord doesn't come back before I pass from this life, the physical body will cease to function. It'll die. My old heart will quit. My brain will cease to function. And sometimes that's not a very pleasant thing. Sometimes, you know, it's not so bad. But folk, I'm telling you, when that happens, our spirit, our being, my person, me, I am going to be with the Lord. And there I will be with him forever. Today our loved ones are with the Lord. They're in the presence of God, and they're in the presence of the Lord in that spiritual state. Don't know all about it, but I tell you, I know they're there today. I know that they're there. And when Jesus comes back to take us to be with him, they're going to come with him. Part of what's going to make heaven, heaven. All the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, all of that, that's going to be grand. That new Jerusalem that's going to be the hub of all that new heaven and new earth, all of that's going to be glorious. Oh, to be in the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to be the best part of heaven. That's the best part, absolutely. You can't get past that. I tell you what, when we get a glimpse of Jesus, the streets of gold will dim, all right? They're going to be perfect. We're going to see Jesus, and I want to see him, as the old song says, because he died for me. But let me tell you something else that's going to make heaven heaven, and I believe this with all my heart. When I go to be with the Lord through the rapture or through death, I'm going to see my old mom and dad again. My dad's been gone in about 2.5 weeks. He'll have been gone 30 years. But I tell you what, I can't wait to see him again. And my mom, my sister died 4 months after my dad did. She's 43 years old. But I'm going to see her again. Other family members, oh, I've got a grandbaby. I'm going to see him alive and well one day. Ooh, it's going to be good. And they're going to come with us. Folks, there will be a literal reunion of God's people, God's children, in the heavens above when we go to see the Lord. Some will say, well, we're not going to recognize each other. And we're not. Folks, let me tell you what. I plan with all my heart, just as soon as I see Jesus, I'm going to know who he is. When I see Peter and Paul and Abraham and Jacob, when I see them, I'm going to know who they are. Folks, when I see my daddy, I'm going to know who he is, all right? That's part of it. Because they're going to come with him. They're going to come with him. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, by the word of God himself, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word could also be translated precede. Makes either way, it's good. Shall not prevent them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folk, you can't find any more comforting words anywhere in the Scripture than right here. Oh, the 23rd Psalm is a comforting psalm. I use it at nearly all funerals I preach. I tell you, there's some other passages that'll just bring comfort to your heart. But I don't know of any that brings more comfort than the hope that I find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and other passages. Now, we're going to look at this passage in detail along with several others. But before we begin to look at it in more detail, I want us to note some things about the rapture that I think are very, very important. Some things that sometimes we don't stop to realize, that we don't stop to consider maybe as much as we should. Folk, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is an absolute certainty. It's going to happen. Peter talks about the skeptics that say, well, I've heard about that all of my life and it hadn't happened yet. I've heard it all of my life and it hadn't happened yet. But folks, let me tell you, it's going to. You can count on that. It's going to. Just because that hadn't happened yet and I've heard about it a long time, it just means we're that much closer. Folks, it is an absolute certainty. People will tell you that the most certain thing in life is death. It is appointed unto man once to die. That's Scripture. That's good Scripture. Book of Hebrews. Appointed unto man once to die. That's a part of life. But there is one event that is going to supersede that passage of Scripture, and that is the coming of the Lord. If the Lord comes today, praise God, if you know Jesus is your Savior today, you're going to get to bypass the death that is talked about in the Scripture. That last great enemy of man, that enemy that came about because of the disobedience of Adam in the garden and his partaking of the forbidden fruit. And folk, listen, that brought about spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. Praise God that today, let us rejoice today that God in eternity past had a plan of redemption already planned because of the need that was going to arise because of the bad choice of Adam. But folk, today, because of that plan of redemption, we have the hope that we talk about today. And because of that, we have the absolute certainty that Jesus is going to come back. Jesus is going to return. I know that because my Bible says, and by the way, I just happen to believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
I believe it from Genesis 1 to the last words of Revelation. All right? Don't understand it all. Well, Brother Sid, how can you believe something you don't understand? Because of faith. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe the Word of God. Paul said in this passage we just read that this message of hope comes to us by the Word of the Lord. That text I quoted in John chapter 14, let me tell you how certain it is. Jesus said it would happen. It all pertains to Him. It all is based upon Him. It all is dependent upon Him. He said it. If I go, and He did, 50 days later, 40 days later, or about 43 days later there, if I go, I will come again. Well, Jesus said it. Jesus said it. That's it. That settles it. If that's the only evidence we had of the return of Jesus Christ, that would be sufficient and adequate. You've seen the bumper stickers. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. Don't get one of those. Jesus said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. All right? Jesus said it. If you've got one on your car, don't be offended. All right? Jesus said, if I go, I will come again. You can read over in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 7. Beginning in verse 7, where Jesus ascends into heaven after the resurrection. 40 days after the resurrection, He ascends up into the clouds. The apostles and many others were there with Him. He was on the Mount of Olives, right outside the city of Jerusalem. And folk, listen. They are standing there and they are gazing. Their eyes are big. Their mouth is agape. Some are not saying a word. They're taken aback by this. Some are saying, what's going on? What's happening? Did you see? Jesus just, he ascended into the clouds. They're standing there and He's out of sight and they're still just looking up there in amazement. You and I would have been. Our eyes would have been just as big. And there were two men in white apparel appeared to them, angels of God, the messengers of God. And they said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus who is taken from you today will come again in like manner. Just like He went into the clouds, He will come back in the clouds. Folks, Jesus said it. The angels of God, the messengers of God, they said it. Paul spoke of it time after time after time. The text that we just read, Paul gives us a very vivid illustration of what's going to happen when Jesus comes and how exciting it's going to be. He tells us over in the little book of Titus, he tells us there just a few pages over in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Listen to what he says. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how we ought to be living today, folks. Now, there's a whole nother sermon. But then he says, as we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, we are looking for that blessed, that glorious, that joyful, that happy, that exciting hope, and which is the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What gives me hope today is that I'm looking for Jesus to come. I'm waiting for Jesus to come. I'm anticipating Jesus coming. I pray that He comes this morning. Let me say it for the 5,000th time probably. I pray that Jesus will come before this service is completed this morning. And my next prayer is that if He does, there'll be nobody left to turn off the lights. Folk, I want Jesus to come. I want Jesus to come. The angel spoke of it. Jesus spoke of it. Paul spoke of it. Read 1 Peter chapter 5, 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter spoke of it. Many, many others spoke of it. We could go on and on. We could look at these, and we've looked at these for the last many weeks, so we'll not do it again. Folk, the return of Jesus Christ is without a doubt, absolutely, and I don't know stronger words to use, fully and totally inclusively, the coming of Jesus Christ for the rapture and the things that will happen thereafter are absolutely the most certain thing that will ever occur in the relationship with God and mankind. He is coming back. Know that today. That is where the hope is. Folk, listen. The hope is not an election week, a week from Tuesday, okay? If that's where you're putting your hope, you're going to be sorely disappointed. I don't care who wins, because it's in man's hands, all right? Don't you forget to go vote. Stick that in there right quick. You go vote. Let us Christians be a voice that's heard and such. But, folk, that's not where our hope is at. Our hope is not in whatever might come our way in this world. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and nothing less, in His blood and righteousness, in His promise to come again, in the fact that Jesus is coming soon. That is where our hope is. That's why it's important that we stop this morning and for just a moment we concentrate on the fact, on the certainty, on the absolute assurance that Jesus is coming back. He is. He's coming back. Folks, if He doesn't come back in your lifetime, it's okay. Death may take us out. I don't have a fear in the world about death. I say that just as openly and honestly as I can. Now, I don't relish what may take me out. I don't like the idea of suffering and such as that. I don't like the heartache that it might cause my family and I hope my friends. And I don't like to think about it for my family and my friends. But folk, death is a reality as well, but it's not as certain as the Lord coming back. But if I die before He comes back, that's okay, because I'm going to go with Him. And when He comes back, I'm going to come with Him to meet you, those that are left behind. Be absolutely certain. If you don't get anything else this morning, let's start with this. Be sure that you realize that Jesus is coming back. Now, I've stressed that a lot right there in these last 10, 15 minutes. Jesus is going to return. There are those that teach otherwise. There are those that teach that that's all spiritualized and it's all typical and it's such as that. No, I'm telling you what, it's a fact. Jesus is coming again. He told me so. He told me so, John 14. How important is the rapture? Well, Brother Sid, you've just spent the last 10 minutes telling us the certainty of the rapture. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We don't know when. We can't do anything about when. The saved are going to go. The lost are going to be left behind. That should about pretty much cover it. That's it in a very small nutshell, but we must go much deeper than that to get the full appreciation of it all and such. But how important is the rapture? What happens if it doesn't happen? You tell us all the time, if we die knowing Christ, we're going to go to be with Him. I've told you that about 7 times already this morning. What does it really matter if the Lord comes back? It sure does. And the reason being is that if the rapture does not occur, the Bible is not true, and we don't have any hope. If the rapture does not occur, the teaching of Jesus Christ, our Savior Himself, is not true. He has therefore told us something that's an untruth. He becomes a sinner. He's not the Savior. We don't have any hope. How important is the rapture? To the fulfillment of the words of Jesus, the angels, Peter, Paul, Elijah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all of those prophets, folk, to the fulfillment of their prophecy, if He doesn't come, their prophecy is not fulfilled, therefore the Bible is not accurate, and we have lost all hope. If I don't believe today that Jesus is coming, then why should I believe that He said, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? It's all from the same book. It's all inspired, as we say, and such. Folk, listen. One promise from God is as good as the next. And he told me that if I'd call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I could be saved, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left the splendors of heaven, came to this earth, lived a short life of rejection and ridicule, died a horrendous death on the cross, died on that cross and was put in a grave and sealed up for 3 days, and then he arose from the grave and ascended back into heaven, today sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Folks, now I tell you what, you take the spiritualization out of that, and that sounds like a fairy tale for sure, but let me tell you what, it's the grandest story that was ever told. It is the gospel, the good news, the grandest of news, the best news. And folk, the news doesn't end with him going and sitting on the right hand of the Father. The news continues because he's coming back to take us to be with him. He's taking us, going to take us to be with him. How glorious and wonderful it is. That's how important it is. Folk, listen, how important is it? How important is the rapture? If the rapture doesn't occur, now you can read about this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19. Let me turn there and read that in just a second. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great discourse on the resurrection itself. Folk, listen, if the rapture doesn't occur, there is no resurrection. Because Paul told us by the word of God, 1 Thessalonians 4, where we just read, that by the word of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. If there is no rapture, there is no resurrection, and the grave and death have the victory, and they have beaten us. Let me repeat it. Again, we have no hope. Folk, listen. I can take you to the National Cemetery. I can show you where my dad and my mother are buried in the same grave. You'll go two rows over and two stones down, you'll find where my sister is buried. Folk, I am telling you with all my heart, I know this morning that on the day of the coming of the Lord, when the rapture occurs, you go there if you're left behind, and I pray that nobody is. Those that can left behind, they can go there, and I believe there's going to be an empty hole right there and another one right over here, plus a lot of others. Because the resurrection. We put them in the grave because that's the way that things have to be done. Now, we don't like to talk about that. I know, Brother Sid, you're getting a little morbid here. No, just the unfortunate facts of life. But, folk, for the child of God, it's not a morbid thing. It's just a temporary thing. And, by the way, don't ever forget this. All that's in that grave is their body. All that's in that grave is their physical body. They are enjoying the eternal bliss of God right now today. Your loved ones are just like mine that I used to illustrate this morning. Folks, their body is in that grave, but they are with the Lord. But the day is going to come when even the physical is resurrected as a demonstration of the power of God. If not, when we put them in that grave, end of story. That's it. Heard a man say one time, he's been talked to about the Lord so many times, and he just won't accept. He said, no, I understand. The Bible's it's a good book. It's got good ideas, and it's got good things for me to live by. But see, when I die, they're just going to take me out to that cemetery and put me in the ground, and that's the end of it. Folk, for the child of God, that's not the end of it. Amen. It's not the end of it for the lost person either, but that end is not very pleasant. Folk, I'm telling you what. How important is the rapture? The rapture is going to fulfill everything that we find in the Scripture about the resurrection. And the resurrection is real and true because we're going to be resurrected just like Jesus was resurrected. And it's all going to come by the power of God when Jesus comes. Amen. Without the rapture, there is no hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, real quickly. I'm just going to read a little bit of this. Read this whole chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. It says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God and that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, and if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they who also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That word means to be gone completely. And if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Folks, let me tell you what. We have hope. If Jesus doesn't come back, is not coming back, we are wasting our time this morning. I am teaching you false heresy this morning. If Jesus is not coming back. But let me tell you this morning, not to boast on myself, but I'll promise you it's the truth this morning because God tells me Jesus is coming back. It is not in vain. Your work in God is not in vain. What does the last verse, the last verses of 1 Corinthians 15 tell us? It says there, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, my beloved and brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and it's not in vain because Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. That's how important it is. That's how certain it is. Now, we've not even gotten into the details of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but we will next time. But I want you to know, I want you to grasp, with a newness of excitement, with a newness of awareness of the reality and the certainty that Jesus is coming again. And folk, we can know that with absolute certainty, and we must realize the importance of that. That ought to get us excited. Now, Brother Sid, I know all that. I believe all that. I pray you do. What does that tell us who are here waiting for that with anticipation? What does that tell us who are here excitingly expecting the Lord to come back? It tells us two things, and I've repeated this over and over. We ourselves must be ready, and that is in the truest, most elemental sense that we must know Christ as our personal Savior. Even if you've been in church all your life, even if you've been faithful part of church and you've been active in church all your life, folk, I'm telling you what, God's not going to check the church roll when He comes back. He's going to check the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you saved this morning? If Jesus comes today, do you know you'd go to be with the Lord? The next thing it teaches us is these last days, the certainty and surety of His coming, the absolute, without a doubt, assurance of His coming. Folk, it tells us that we must be busy telling others about Christ. It tells us that there are others out there that are part of our families, that are our friends, that are our co-workers, our fellow students for young people, whomever it might be, somebody you know needs to know Jesus. You say, I don't know if I know anybody that needs to know Jesus. Somebody you don't know needs to hear about Jesus from you. Folk, there are people out there that we meet every day that we need to be telling about Jesus because of the absolute certainty and importance of the coming of the Lord. Oh, Jesus is coming back. Are you excited about it? Do you look forward to it? Do you anticipate it? Folk, listen. This old messed up world that we live in, folk, I'm ready for something better. And Jesus is the only hope there is. And He's coming back with that hope to make us a part of it. But we've got those friends and family that we want to be a part of it too. In order for that to happen, they must know Jesus. They must know Jesus. Paul told us in the book of Romans, how can they believe in Him whom they have not heard, and how can they hear without a preacher? The word preacher there comes from the word proclaimer. It doesn't just give the task just to me, but to all of us as children of God. I have that task equally with you, but folk, we got to be telling people about Jesus. Jesus, my convictions run deep. Jesus could come today. Are you ready? As a child of God, are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? Some Christians, born-again believers, they're going to meet him and they're going to be ashamed of their life as a Christian. Yes, they're saved. They're going to be born again. They've been born again. They're going to get to go, but they're going to be ashamed. Folks, don't do that. Be ready. Be excited. Anticipate that Jesus is coming back. While our musicians come this morning, I want you to know, I want you to believe, I want you to expect, I want you to anticipate the coming of the Lord. Now, we're going to look at the details of what's going to happen next time. And, folks, let me tell you what, if that don't get you excited, I don't think there's anything that will. This morning, are we ready? Are we anticipating Jesus coming back? While we stand together, we sing together this morning this hymn of invitation. If you have a need, you come. Would you come? Most importantly, lost friend, don't leave without Jesus this morning. Amen.